RunAsRadio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 56 with guest Mark Beckner, recorded Friday, April 11th, 2008. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
You're listening to Run As Radio. I'm your host, Richard Campbell, and with me as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, everybody. How are you today, Richard?
I'm really good. I got an interesting email for you.
All right.
Starts off, hello, Richard and Greg. I would like to request that you have an episode related to information security and risk assessment in the IT industry. I'm sure there has to be some industry experts out there.
Yes, there are.
Yeah, you know a few, don't you?
I know quite a few, yes.
My company has a number of large data centers that process financial data for commercial banks. We are frequently audited by corporate, federal, and third-party examiners. Oh boy, that sounds like fun.
That's exactly what I've gone through for the past several years.
Last year, we received a poor rating related to risk management processes and procedures. Lately, security has been the really big topic for everyone. I used to support the networking and server environment. I still do that, but 90% of my time is now spent writing risk assessments. Am I alone, or are there others in the same situation as me? And the name is Name Withheld.
Oh, boy. You know, the thing that concerns me about that email?
Yeah?
Is that last part. I'm responsible for maintaining the infrastructure, basically. And I'm also responsible for risk management, I would hope. If you're doing risk assessments, then I hope you're in risk management. The IT industry, and especially, and again, the similarity being the banking space or the financial services space between my experience and the writer's experience, is that regulatory requirements, especially in the area of risk management and using there's a tendency to think about risk assessment as a process or, you know, something in and of itself, a self-contained thing. Really, risk assessment is part of a comprehensive risk management program. And without formalized and well-rounded risk management to include that point of risk assessment, a risk assessment is a one-time deal.
Yeah, I worry that people think that risk assessment means risk mitigation, and it's just the starting point.
It's really all a risk assessment is something that you should be doing on an ongoing basis, right? As part of your broader risk management process and program. And if we have the same person who's responsible for server and data center infrastructure and technical maintenance being the risk assessment person, I'm concerned about the risk management process involved there.
Yeah.
I think that to go to the first point of the email, hey, let's do some shows or do a show talking about this. Absolutely. It's something that is more and more spreading across more and more vertical industries for people that are responsible in the IT shop. You know, whether you're dealing with the Sarbanes-Oxley and or, you know, type of stuff that all, you know, in the IT controls, or if you're, you know, like in the financial services space, you know, dealing with privacy issues and confidentiality and security of data.
PCI, all that good stuff.
PCI and over into HIPAA and healthcare and a bunch of others. And really, you know what it comes right down to, Richard, is good, solid security and risk assessment is an absolutely necessary part of any IT person's job now. So there's a component to that, but yet it still has to be properly organized and focused.
Well, and I hate the idea of knowing 90% of your time on anything, really.
Yeah, and unless your job is that you are the risk assessment person.
Right, you're the specialist. So is risk assessment important to you? Send us an email, info@runasradio.com, and we'll pull some more shows together.
Yeah, we'd be glad to hear from you. And as always, you know, it's those emails that drive our shows.
Absolutely, the emails that drive the shows. Let's get to our guest. Mark Beckner is a technical consultant specializing in business development and enterprise application integration. He runs his own consulting firm, Innotech Consulting Group, LLC, delivering innovative solutions to large corporations and small businesses. His projects has included engagements with numerous clients throughout the U.S. and in range and nature from mobile application development to complete integration solutions. He authored the Pro EDI in BizTalk Server 2006 R2 book from A-Press and co-authored BizTalk 2006 A Problem Solution Approach, also from A-Press. He has spoken at a number of venues, including Microsoft BizTalk 2004 in the Service Oriented World Conference, and is certified in Microsoft technologies, including MCSD.net. He will be presenting at TechEd in Orlando in June 2008 during the IT Pro Week.
Very cool.
As will we.
Yes, we will.
We'll be busy, busy for that week. So I think we're all going to be running into each other at some point. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Great introduction, Richard.
Well, thanks.
Hey, Mark. You know, BizTalk, in my somewhat limited experience, but is one of those names that comes up periodically, and people, they sort of fade into the back of their skull as they start to think about all the different implications and all the complexities of doing that, you know, any kind of integration services. It really is, can be quite complicated, but it doesn't have to be, does it?
Well, integration as a whole can be kind of approached from a couple different angles, and certainly you're seeing it in a variety of organizations. So the more complex your organization is, the more complex your integration needs are going to be. The product itself, to say, you know, is this complex or is it not complex, is kind of like saying, is the .NET framework a complex tool to work with?
I would say yes.
Yeah, there's a huge amount there to understand and to work within. But at the same time, depending on what your needs are, is going to dictate, you know, is this a product that's easily adapted into your environment, or is this really going to take a lot of work to not necessarily understand the product, but to figure out how do we fit it into our solution or enterprise.
And if I'm going to work with the .NET framework, it seems like there's a set of, if I'm going to program against it, there's a set of tools out there. There's a whole bunch of, you know, sort of standards, if you will, and certainly community around that. So what if my job isn't programming against the framework, but it's integration? What are some of the things that are important to think about before I start?
Well, the first thing is that you've got to go through a requirements gathering, and really the business level end of what are you trying to accomplish? What are the end results you're looking for? And try and stay above technology. Talk about what's important to the organization. What data needs to go where? How do you want to route data around? How real time or mission critical is it? Synchronous, asynchronous. What types of exception handling do you need to put into place? All of these types of conversations should be happening to some extent with developers, but really at the architecture level, where what is it you're trying to build? And then drill down to the next step of how do we implement it?
Well, I often get the sense that BizTalk is treated as a dev tool, and generally you're focusing on what development are we going to do with BizTalk, I've never really felt that way. I always thought it was very much an infrastructure tool.
Yeah, you're correct. It is an infrastructure tool, and it certainly you can do development within it, but at the same time you're often calling out to most of the time you're calling out to applications that exist, APIs that exist. Perhaps you're calling out to, you know, web services that need to be developed or DLLs that need to be developed or whatever it is that are true developer-oriented tasks, whereas BizTalk or orchestrations or whatever it is you're putting together inside that engine is really the glue to hold it together.
I'm sure we have people that have never touched BizTalk Server and no version of it yet. Can you talk about, what are we talking about when we use the term integration? And what are some of the important things that BizTalk can help do? But even maybe not even talking specifically about BizTalk, what are we talking about when we're doing integrations in an IT environment?
Well, first, there's a couple different things that we may be talking about. Integration could be just the simple need to take data from System A and get it into System B. You know, think order management, where you're as orders come in, you need to route it to your financial system, and you need to route it to, you know, the order fulfillment system and whatever it is. It may be something as simple as when a transaction comes in on one system, how do we push it to these other systems and get that data into a format that those in systems understand. That's one simplistic idea. Another idea is, you know, workflow management. So you've got a process that needs to be automated, or there's a series of steps that need to be taken to accomplish a goal. That too falls under the umbrella of integration, because your workflow is integrating disparate systems and processes.
So I'm just trying to grab onto a scenario here that makes a lot of sense. And I guess most of the time I start thinking supply chain, just because we often are dealing with disparate systems within and without our organization to get all of the goods together to fulfill a customer demand.
Well, supply chain is certainly one that it always comes back to, because that's the easiest one to sort of visualize, I think, from when you're first looking at it. But really the thing to understand is that virtually every organization out there has some level of integration need. And not all places need to necessarily route their data. But you may have situations where you want to simply write some sort of long-running transaction that needs to ensure that when something gets kicked off within your organization, that it follows through all the way to the end, regardless of what happens, whether a system gets rebooted, whether you are unable to connect to an end system, whatever it is that you're after. You should understand that there's tools out there that you don't necessarily have to program these types of things from scratch. You don't need to go into Visual Studio and just start writing C# and writing listeners and loop shapes and, you know, serialization and everything else. Like, there are tools out there that allow you to work from a platform up and not have to write these things from scratch.
So these bits already exist. And so, and I think you hit the real key thing, which is the challenge of managing long-running transactions. Every time I've worked in a supply chain project, the number one concern was not dropping the ball. That every time you did a handoff, you made a request to a supplier, or that supplier gave you back a delivery time, that it was properly reacted to, or when it didn't get delivered right away because it was delayed by a day or something, that it didn't get forgotten.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing to really emphasize that is when you're within an organization such as a Walmart or some massive industry where there's a lot of orders, or there's a huge number of transactions that are routing around, how could you possibly ever know that things are finishing? Or if things don't finish, how could you possibly solve for it unless you've got some sort of automated process that's sitting behind the scenes? You know, the option is not really to try and build this up from the ground up, because there's just no way you're going to be able to within a subset of an IT unit or developers be able to solve for all the possible exceptions or ramifications of what could go wrong or what could interrupt a process, or how you would report into it or see and have visibility into that process.
And now we're talking about what BizTalk can actually do for us, that all of those bits are there in a package, essentially.
Right. So let's say your order comes in and it's getting routed through your system. How do you find out where it's at? How do you know what steps have been taken, what systems have successfully been written to, and what systems perhaps remain in the future?
Yeah. Where is it fallen off the track?
Exactly. And how do you recover it? How do you access that? And certainly within BizTalk, you do have those all of the reporting and tracking tools and capabilities that you would need to really solve this on a large scale.
So we are focusing on the integration side of BizTalk Server, but obviously orchestration workflow plays a huge role in this, of making sure that integration points are handed from one step to the next.
Right, orchestration, and in many instances, there may not be the need for a true orchestration or workflow. You may just have something as simple as when a file comes in on my FTP site, I want to pick that up and move it into my internal network or write it to a database table or something like that. And there's really just a one-step process, in which case you don't necessarily have to put together an orchestration. But in many cases, things are much more complex than that. Even if it's a one-step process, again, what happens if the file you're picking up has bad data in it or runs into an exception? What are you going to do with that?
Right. Let's gnaw on this scenario a bit, because I like it. Because my first reaction would be to say, hey, a file shows up on my FTP site and I want to haul it over there. Well, I can write a script for that runs every 10 minutes, looks for any files that are there and hauls it over. Why would I want to use BizTalk?
Right. And I guess there's several answers to that. One, if that was your ultimate solution and you were doing nothing else within your environment other than moving FTP over, then hands down, you wouldn't use BizTalk, right?
Right.
But the thing is that if you've got this solution in place, there's going to be many, many smaller applications or uses that you can apply it to. One of which is, hey, we need to monitor this FTP site. It takes you 5 minutes to configure the adapter. You put it into place. You tie it into your common framework within your within BizTalk, your enterprise application, and everything's treated the same. There is no building it up. There's no developer has to go write the code and whatnot.
Right. Well, and I find that it's those people believe that there's that simple solution, and then it creeps on them. Well, what happens if that little applet stops running? Where's the notification mechanism when it isn't working? What if I want to validate the file, or I want to send an email when I move one? Suddenly your script gets out of control and you're writing your own version of BizTalk.
Exactly. Notifications and exception handling and all that, those things end up constituting 80% of code. Like, why do we need to spend 80% of development time handling the 1% of things that could go wrong when you can just go in there and concentrate more on what you're trying to solve for the business and not what you're trying to keep from happening?
So can we talk a bit about the integration points? Like, what is it that BizTalk can consume?
At the foundation of BizTalk is schemas, XSDs, XML. It can consume any kind of file, but what can it actually do with that? Let's say a JPEG was delivered. Well, you can pick that file up, you can route it around, but you're not actually going to do anything with the data inside of that.
Right.
The binary is not going to get you anywhere. But things like flat files and XML documents, which is really the majority of standards that are being passed around between systems, that's what you want to do to really be able to base workflow off of what data is coming in. If this order comes in from this customer, I want this to happen. Versus this customer goes down another branch. Well, you actually look at the data inside of that, and how do you do that? Well, the data that's coming in is in a standard format, and you simply define that schema, and then you can actually work with it as if it were an object in .NET, where an object has properties and methods. Your flat file has properties that you can identify and say, this is, the value that's here is equal to this.
Now, is this a developer exercise at this point, if I'm actually parsing a document?
Well, there's a few things to understand. One, you've got to get away from the idea of parsing a document, because really what happens is when a document comes in, it will be understood by the schema that a developer has to put together the schema, or perhaps a schema pre-exists for things. Oftentimes you can find all sorts of pre-existing XSDs and whatnot for certain types of infrastructures.
Yeah, folks are using a conventional document format for a kind of order. There's a bunch of XSDs out for that, isn't there?
Right, especially within monitored industries. There's the HIPAA standards. Anything that has a standard format is going to have predefined, you know, where, what column and what row does this value appear in.
Right.
But once you've developed that, and a schema development, if you were to map that over to, you know, .NET development, would be you're defining your object. What properties do you have on it? You define your schema. What fields am I expecting to come in? But once you have that foundation built and put into place, when files come in, the BizTalk engine itself will look at that file, figure out which schema it associates with, and automatically transform that into a format that you can work with. Like, there isn't really code or developer tasks to have to go in and write something that parses a file or tries to figure out what this is and how do I route it. That is inherent to the product.
So now we get into that point where I can grab onto a workflow, or I understand this document, now I can, without code, command where I'd want it to go and what rules it's got to follow.
Right. And the orchestration is where, you know, the majority of visibility, when people think of BizTalk, most likely they think of either orchestrations or mapping, because those are the two most developer-oriented items within the product. And an orchestration is ultimately behind the scenes, you know, C#, but it's done through a user interface, a GUI, and you drag and drop shapes. Some of them allow you to actually write code. There's an expression window that allows you to program really what's .NET Lite. It's a subset of everything you could potentially do in .NET within a scripting window. You also have the ability to call out to any kind of code that you want. So if you need to write some complex routine and put it into an assembly, no problem. You can reference it just like you would from any Visual Studio project. BizTalk is, you develop orchestrations and maps and schemas all within the Visual Studio environment.
It still seems to me like every step of the way through this BizTalk process, I could be dropping into code. How much of this can be done without doing that?
There's a lot of pre-existing components that, in the instance of the moving a file from an FTP site into your internal network and writing it to a database, something like that would require no code. You may have to write a SQL statement to do the actual insert or a stored procedure, but actual coding, there isn't any. There's configuration, there's setup of an FTP adapter, there's you know, the configuration and the deployment, but there's no actual code going on. Now, in the case of, let's say, once you pick up that FTP file, you want to bring it into an orchestration and take something out of that file, some data that's within it, and push that out to a web service. The steps that would be taken is, one, you receive that file. Everything up to that point of receiving it in orchestration is all configuration, no
right.
coding. Then you pick up, you look at that file and you extract the data you're after. Well, that's done inherently through your schema. And if you put your schema together, then you can access those fields. So far, to get to the content of the data, we've really written no code.
Right.
Now you want to call a web service. Well, you reference the web service just like you would from any Visual Studio project. And that imports the WSDL and the interface that you need to call out to. So now we have to populate the properties or the interface of that web service. And here's where a minor amount of code needs to occur. You need to say, if there's two parameters you're passing into the web service, you've got to populate those with values. And those values are coming from your FTP file. So set value A equal to, you know, parameter A equal to value A, and that's your code. The orchestration development is really dragging and dropping and configuring shapes, ports, and, you know, how those things are communicating. So there's really not coding as we know it going on.
Right. And the need to, I mean, adding stuff like notifications and so forth is largely that configuration kind of task. You don't have to do a lot of customization to make that happen.
Right. So for that type of scenario, let's say you don't have any internal system that can send out an email or you want to do something a little bit more robust than just call out to your local SMTP server. So you decide, well, we want a reusable way to send out email or notifications. So you put together a web service. You code it up however you want to code it, just like you would a regular web service. But then within BizTalk, what you're doing is just calling out to that web service.
Right.
That's where your development comes in.
It seems to me that so much of this is very web service centric. It's all XML documents and validating schemas. Other than mentioning FTP, are there really other protocols that we work with in BizTalk?
Oh, there's every protocol that you can imagine. So you've got, you know, everything from HTTP to TCP/IP. You've certainly got WCF that you can tie into. Any standard way of routing information around is supported. And the idea here is that if you can do it in .NET, you can do it in BizTalk. So the question is there a pre-configured or pre-existing adapter?
So right.
For all the standard protocols, there's pre-existing components you can work with. In the scenario where you need to do something special, like talk with some proprietary embedded piece of software, let's say, no problem, go for it. If you can, write your own adapter, you can write your own way of communicating with whatever it is you need to communicate with.
And that sort of brings us up to this concept of EDI, which is what I remember BizTalk as the very, very beginning was before the internet was in the equation. EDI was the way, if I wanted to sell something to General Motors, I had to use it.
Yeah, I remember talking about EDI and building EDI messaging systems in the early to, I guess, probably the mid-90s, early to mid-90s. And so, but it's come a long way in BizTalk over the last, even just the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Well, the first thing to say on EDI is it's been around for an eternity. When you talk technical jargon, EDI is just about as old as it gets, and it represents a standard of, or a schema as we've been discussing. What is your standard for how your data is structured? And that allows different organizations to be able to communicate with one another on a standard. What does an order look like? Well, that's what EDI defines. What is happening, though, is that, you know, it's an old technology. There's a lot of solutions out there that were developed over the years. And what's happening is organizations that are dependent on EDI are really in need of bringing their infrastructures up to speed with what's going on in 2008. You know, yeah, we need to do our communication with EDI, but do we need to be dependent on a middleman or a van to do our document routing for us, or can we ourselves take on this capacity? And a tool like BizTalk, even before it had the most recent incarnation of EDI, is that it brought a lot of what organizations needed to the table to be able to route documents around. The fact that they're EDI documents shouldn't preclude you from being able to pass them around through your EAI application. What Microsoft did with the most recent release, which was R2 of 2006, was really bring all of the standard capabilities of what, you know, organizations who use EDI need into this application. So there's 9,000 different standards, or, you know, tens of thousands of different standards of EDI documents out there. So one of the things they did was to develop all the schemas that represented those documents so that you have a starting ground to work from. The second thing they did was to put together the concept of trading partners and how do you configure those within BizTalk. How do you route documents and determine who they belong to based on the information inside of the document? And then how do you do mapping? How do you map how do you get your internal representation of that file into the EDI standard? Well, BizTalk has all sorts of maps and tools to be able to do that for you. So really the EDI capabilities are an extension of what BizTalk was already doing. It just made it that much easier for people to quickly plug into it and use it as the primary logical tool to route their documents.
Do you think that EDI is largely archaic, that it's just existing infrastructure that's using it? If you want to do business with Walmart, you have to speak their EDI protocol, or is there new EDI development going on?
Well, thing is that you've got all of your, 90% of supply chain organizations use EDI, and they're growing.
Right.
Walmart alone can cause that industry to be massive. And so when you have industry leaders out there who force a standard, that standard is not archaic. That standard is very current and growing all the time, because there really is no need to change that standard.
There's nothing inherently wrong with it.
Right. I mean, it's old school. It's flat files and
no self-describing tags and all the nice stuff you get with like an XML style format. But like you say, if everybody's using it, everybody's using it.
Exactly. Not only are they using it, but they're increasing the need for it all the time by doing more and more business. So it's certainly not going to be decreasing. It is increasing as we speak.
So do you see BizTalk's role as largely a translation from EDI into, say, a more modern format for operating within your enterprise, and then perhaps back to EDI to go back to another system?
Not necessarily. You can envision that, okay, so these organizations that have been doing business for a decade or decades don't necessarily need to update their back-end systems.
Right.
Most likely they are. Most likely things are being migrated and updated just like in any environment. But they're under no obligation to change those. But they may want to change the way they do business with their customer, B2B commerce. Like, how do we, for example, one of the big things with Vans or with EDI and passing documents around is the idea of the value-added network, or the VAN, which made a lot of sense in previous times, because what the VAN was doing was ensuring that documents were received and routed to the appropriate trading partners, that there was some sort of receipt mechanism, that there was some sort of tracking so that customers could truly say, I got my document there, and everything's fine. But now they're looking at it and saying, do we really need to pay this continual cost to the VAN when we can route documents directly to our trading partners and they directly back to us? What BizTalk allows a company to do is to play the part of the VAN. And that's really known as AS2, or, direct commerce between partners. And it eliminates a huge cost and really an unnecessary aspect of it for doing the business.
It sounds like the same impact that the internet has had, in the sense of, it's tough to be a travel agent in this day and age because we can do so much of it ourselves. It sounds like BizTalk's doing the same thing in the VAN situation.
Absolutely, and yet you look at it and there's travel agents on every corner still. So there's certainly a market, and there's certainly a purpose for that for the existence of the travel agent and the VAN, and they're not going away anytime soon. But at the same time, there's this massive new market for direct over the internet AS2 commerce.
And it also seems like it's going down the company chain too, that this is becoming more of a medium scale business task than it's been in the past.
Yeah, and if you go back to the discussion around Walmart, they're constantly out there looking for vendors who can supply a single product on a moment's notice at a low cost. And so you've got really a different type of supply chain model with these larger retailers, because they're going out to local groups, they're going out to large existing groups to look for the same product. So it doesn't matter what size your businesses, you still have to interact over EDI with the customer. So whether you're small, medium, or large, is BizTalk the right solution for a tiny little farmer who's trying to supply local dairy over EDI and they've got one or two orders a day, no. But if you're truly trying to automate your processes and you have a certain level of business, then absolutely it makes sense to go out and find a tool to do that for you and get the benefit.
Yeah, if you're McDonald's and you have a McDonald's has a bunch of company-owned farms and franchise farms, certainly then that type of thing for that supply chain makes a lot of sense.
And so too, you know, then let's go back to the FTP. You want to move something from an FTP site? Well, you've got BizTalk in your house. So now start to apply it to other solutions. There's certainly going to be different types of things that you're looking at, and you can say, well, we've already got this tool. Let's use it for what it was intended for and benefit from that aspect of it also.
Sounds great. Mark, it looks like we're just about out of time. Any call-outs, things we've missed, places people should be looking?
Well, there's a lot of information on BizTalk as a whole out there. As far as EDI, since it is kind of a new aspect, there is less information. I have put together a book on that, and it certainly traces through an end-to-end life cycle of how do you build an EDI solution on BizTalk and what do you get out of it. You can certainly visit my website at www.innotechgroup.com for more information on that.
And that'll get you started. And the book is Pro EDI in BizTalk Server 2006 R2. Our guest has been Mark Beckner. Mark, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you very much for both your time.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.